Hey, all right, evening, everybody. JD here, 701 Nation. Got our buddy back on, Alex Balazs, U.S. candidate for House. Hey, Brian Wanner, evening, buddy. Evening, Jamie and my fellow MVEs. Evening, Brian. He's out there in Dickinson. Appreciate you tuning in again tonight. We're definitely getting our fill of guns and the 701 guys this week. We had Rick Becker on, Dr. Becker on Tuesday. Last night, the boys were on guns and the 701. Tonight you got me and Alex on 701 Nation, and tomorrow morning Clay and Deke are going to be on Mitchell in the morning. And like we got off the hook on Saturday, Alex. We were supposed to do a live at one of our sponsors, but he's going to be open. Mountain Sporting Goods is a new location, but he wasn't quite ready for the big opening. So like I said, we got Alex Balazs back on here. Alex, you're in town, you said, right? What are you doing in Bismarck tonight?
Yeah, we came down today for the Young Republicans Gala. Talk with the guys down here. They got a really good platform. They're really working hard, really engaged, a great bunch of folks. And it really shows, you know, the youth being engaged and paying attention to what's going on, I think can really change things in this country, you know?
Awesome. Yep. No doubt. Well, they're going to be leading it someday, right? And you and I will be turned back to dust, and they're going to, so yeah, I'd like it when a person like you's down there with them. So I seen you got NRA, you got an A on the questionnaire, right? So I'm just going to congratulate you on that. I didn't think you'd have anything less, but.
Yeah, we had a really good meeting back there. We talked to them about everything. I think they were surprised. We talked guns a lot. I'm not sure that the fellow I was talking to hunted a lot, but he was definitely a gun guy. So,
all right, perfect. I'm a both kind of guy. So, speaking of that, real quick, did you get your deer app in then?
I got all my deer apps in. I'm waiting, of course, to get see whether Cindy gets her rifle tag and whether I get my muzzle loader. I haven't got back my gratis response yet, but I'm hoping that'll come back soon. And we're planning on doing elk out in unit 3, and then we're also talking with a fellow who's got too many cows eating his hay over in Montana, and I might just mosey over there and drop another cow if I can.
Awesome. Why not, right? I mean, it's fun. A lot of people don't get that. I mean, they're good eating, and shooting them's just half the fun, really, right? I don't remember if I asked you guys do all your own like sausage processing, or do you take it somewhere?
Yeah, all our own butchering. We make our own summer sausage, make our own links. And last year we made Landjager, which the big difference is instead of using just regular pork shoulder, pork butt, it's pure pork belly. So it really changed the flavor. It was really good. Yeah.
Well, when you get that sausage made and you get down to Bismarck, feel free to swing by my house. I'll trade you out for something.
We're going to have to link up. I should have brought some with us.
I love it, man. My whole family would eat summer sausage all the time. But so before we get anything more, I promised on Tuesday some Becker listeners here, Rick and one of the listeners here, I'd ask you these questions here. So I got one. I took a screenshot right at the end. Carrie says, Alex is a Fed, has a Virginia cell number, a very nice big house in Colorado, hardly known in his own community, no voting record, but coming to save North Dakota. Something doesn't add up. I know you answered some of these last time, maybe all of them, Alex. What's your response there to that?
Yeah. So I do have, they're exactly right. I do have a cell phone from Virginia. I think I've kept it since I got the number a long, long time ago. It's the one that's most reliable. It works. You know, all my friends in North Dakota have it. My military friends all have it. So, yes, there's a Virginia number. And, yes, I also have a North Dakota number, 703-230-5848 on a cell phone. And I even have a landline you can call me out of the house. So, yeah, I got all three of those. My father-in-law does live in Colorado. Yes. You know, my wife's from Colorado. We met down there years. Oh, gosh, 42 years ago, and my father-in-law has a house down there, so yes, we have an address where, and this I think probably would take a military person to understand, or somebody who's been around. We are traveled a lot anyway. When we were overseas deployed, we had our mail sent to my father-in-law's house, because, for example, North Dakota tax bills have to be paid on time. And if they sit in your mailbox in North Dakota, you're going to be in trouble. So, we do have an address there. I wouldn't say it's a big, rich house, but I'll tell my father-in-law that you think it is. That's great. Yeah. That's cool. But thanks for the compliment. And as for, you know, I don't think that I'm here to save North Dakota. I think North Dakotans can do that themselves. I think that the federal seat, though, has a lot that demands it. In other words, you know, we talk about the big three things they want done. They want the border secured. That we want to pull government back and pull regulations back and balance this budget and get us on other foreign wars and do the right kind of diplomacy. And then make sure that we're not overspending and saving and getting this debt down. And yet, when I tell voters here in North Dakota that I'm the only candidate who's worked on the border 2.5 years, I'm the only candidate that's ever worked on a federal budget, I'm the only candidate that's deployed for the military and the only candidate that's worked foreign diplomacy, they still look at me and they say, that's really great, but we like these other guys. So sometimes, I'll be honest with you, Jamie, you got to ask them, like, you know, this is fourth quarter, and you want to put your friend in to win the game, but you got a better experience, a more capable person. They're going to have to make a decision in less than 10 days, right? And
right.
That's their vote. And I'll accept that vote, but it doesn't mean I'm still going to wonder why they wouldn't pick the most experienced person.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, actually. I like that. I like your football analogy there in the fourth quarter. So what do you what do you say, like they say, your neighbors don't know you, right? Because maybe she wasn't listening. We had you on the first time because you went back and you actually purchased your family's homestead, homestead and a ranch and everything up there, the farm, right?
Yeah, got that in 2003 or when after my uncle went, you know, in the home there. And or passed away, and we started fiction that we were still deployed. We retired there in 2015, been there ever since. You know, it's hard to say in North Dakota that a lot of people don't know you. I mean, Candu's a really small town. So, yeah if you're talking about, you know, the Freunds and the Solbergs and all the people around us and people in town and Brad, the bank president, all those guys know us. We're not socialites. You know, we don't run down to Bismarck. You don't know us. Well, now you might. We get to Bismarck and Fargo and places like that. You know, when we go shopping, we go to the military base because I'm retired. So I could see where you could reach out to somebody and find somebody that doesn't know me. And I guess I'll use an old adage. You know, I ran into a guy who'd been in Afghanistan, northern Afghanistan, when I was in southern Afghanistan. And he said, where were you again? And I said, well, I was down here. He said, well, I never saw you. I said, yeah, I didn't see you either, dude. So, I mean, in North Dakota, you can kind of, it's a big state. So I do understand that. I don't criticize people who say that. They never ran into me. They don't know me. And it's a very fair question because you want to know somebody, right?
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I don't have the status of Rick Becker being a doctor, owning a $2 million house on the river here in Bismarck who gets around and is a socialite. I don't have that. I got it. Mm-hmm. I don't have Julie Fedorchak, who's been in the PSC forever and was groomed up and has been a politician forever. And I certainly am not Karamund. They know her name. But maybe I'm that guy that went to serve and I came back to North Dakota because I loved it so much as a kid and I live here now and I want to serve again. Maybe that's who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I could tell you this. My family lives in, I don't know if you've heard of Golden Valley, North Dakota.
Sure.
But, my dad's side's there and there's people who live in Golden Valley right in the town that, I mean, a lot of townspeople live there their whole life don't even really know them that well because like you said, they don't ever come down to the bar. They don't do a whole lot when there's a parade or something or, you know, Golden Valley days or something to that effect. They're just not well known. So, I mean, I think you answered that. I mean, more than adequately, I think if somebody doesn't buy that, Alex, I guess, you know, that's their problem. But
so. I will tell you this, Jamie, it is my responsibility and I've been working hard and I'm going to keep doing it right till 11th. I'm driving. I'm talking to people. We don't miss a single place. If they want to talk, we do it because I owe it to them. They should know who they're voting for. And that is one thing that's hard to do here. It's a big state. So hey, one thing you see, we just took a whole bunch of digital billboard ads out just so people would know my face. So
perfect. Yeah. I mean, you're a young looking guy for your age, I think, actually, if you're in good shape. I did actually meet you at, what was that up here in Bismarck that,
Rick was there
and a whole bunch of people were there actually.
Yeah, we had the, we had the petroleum conference and then we had the,
anyway, I was up North Bismarck here. They had the guest speakers there and you were one of them and Rick spoke and a bunch of other people. And actually a teacher from my kid's school spoke there. I didn't even know he was speaking there. So. Anyway, I met you there and you were there with the wife. I met your wife. And so
my better half.
Right. Yeah. Your wife's a super nice person. I mean, from the small time that I met her, super nice and personable, just like you. I mean, you're a very easy person to talk to, but, Rick wanted me to ask you a question like we were just talking about the elections coming up soon. He didn't mention the polling numbers and he said basically, I mean, he wasn't, you know, being a D-bag about it. He just said, you know, he doesn't really have a chance because how far he's down, and I've agreed with him here. You're probably taking votes away from him in a close race between him and Julie Fedorchuk. He said, ask him what possible path to victory do you see for yourself, Alex?
Well, I tell you what, you know, I talked to the folks about polls, and they describe them like this. Polls are a snapshot in time of a certain voter group, whatever that demographic is. I don't know what that demographic is for what that poll was. So since I didn't run the poll and I didn't manage it, I can't put a lot of stock in a poll that somebody else uses. Otherwise, I kind of would have believed Hillary, you know, when Trump got elected. So,
yeah, she was going to dominate, right?
Yeah, but it is a fair question in that they should ask what I'm doing. So we decided to put the digital billboards up. That was a pretty big personal buy on our part, and we had to do that, self-funded. Because we thought, you know what, people in these big cities, we got to get this word out. And we're going to stay on the campaign trail. We're sending out the texts. We're doing those things. Our path to victory is, in my opinion, through the people that matter the most, the voters. So the pollsters can do what they want. The TVs can do what they want. But the people that are going to vote matter to me. And the people that I'm talking to have been super supportive. Now, I may get to the 11th, and I don't really think I'm drawn from Rick. I think the fact is there's four of us in, and we may split up the vote, but I don't think it's going to be that way. I think there's people that want to talk to me about principles and experience. I'm hoping to pull Julie voters too, because there's a big lack of experience there, but that's just me, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have friends on both sides, big Becker backers, and the other side, big Julie supporters. And, you know, both sides told me that you're pulling votes from both of them. And I said, oh, that's funny, because the other side told me that too. So,
yeah.
So I caught you on the radio there that time. Tell me again what you did in the military there, because you kind of sound, I was like, man, we might have to do Alex for like one of our badass segments here by the sound of it.
Well, I was very fortunate. I served, I entered the Air Force, taught survival for 4 years for the Air Force, or SEER, Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. Then transferred over to the Navy.
What is that, Lumber? Just if you can, real quick, survival, what do you do there with that survival?
So, you know, you train for 6 months to become a survival specialist. So they send you all over the place to learn how to live off the land, and then you qualify as an instructor. And your very first job is they give you 16 to 18 air crewmen or special operators, where they can be special forces or Navy, anybody. And you are dropped off in the mountains and you teach them for 15 days. And you walk with them alone. So it was the best job, if you can imagine. I'm 18 years old. I got a backpack and an axe, and I get to walk around the mountains training people in survival. So there's really no better job than that, you know?
Yeah. And then it's keeping you in shape, right? You had that six pack rocking.
Yep. So, you know, we're out there doing that. And then after a couple of years of doing that, you get assessed as to whether they want to let you teach evasion and escape and resistance. And if you're of the right mindset, and that you got to go to school for it some more, then you start working with them on how to survive captivity, how to escape if they need to, how to evade. I did that for a few years and then went over to the Navy. I crossed service transfers, got some training. I'd gotten married. And then they said, hey, you know, after the training, they said, we need you at the SEER school. So I got resent back to the Navy SEER school. They had two SEER schools at the time, and did the same. And a little bit different in that the Navy has some different techniques. They train, different people that are going to be going to into these situations. Mm-hmm. And a little rougher, to be honest. I mean, they have some physical techniques, because they're worried about what's going to happen to people. So, for example, they don't want the first time that you get rough handled to be by the enemy. They want you to get that off. Because, you know, believe it or not, some people get to be 22, 25. They've never been in a fight.
Yeah. Most of them now are like that, to be honest with you, Alex. I think you know that,
so,
right?
Getting grabbed up by the collar or something, just the kind of thing that's going to happen. So those kind of things, just to get people understanding that, hey, don't let that be the thing that breaks you. Make sure that you're tough enough to make it through. And we worked a while there. And after 10 years of active duty, my next deployment was going to be a rotation to sea with the Navy. And I would have had to go. And for the Navy guys out there, you understand, my rotation was going to be 8 out of the next 10 years at sea, because I had not been to sea yet. And that's just the way it is in the Navy. So I talked to my wife and daughter, and we just said, that's it. So we got discharged, went to Colorado, where her dad was. Oh, yeah, that's right. Remember, her dad had a house in Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah, and, big one.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that multi-million dollar mansion. And we started cutting timber with a buddy. So we were logging, and then I met a guy who said, "Well, why aren't you with the National Guard group here? You can go jump," because I was a jumper. And so I joined the National Guard there. And now, of course, I got a train coming by right now, so hopefully it's not too
That's
noisy.
Fine. I hear a little bit. It just sounds like somebody loud pipes.
1 second. Here we go. There we go. So went back there. We spent about a year with them. But during that time, Cindy and I were applying for the federal service because she spoke so many languages. And I said, you know, I want to do it. It sounds exciting. You can go overseas. And I got picked up in late 89. She got picked up later. I thought she'd get picked up first. Went back to Washington, and we started our career with Foreign Service. But no longer than a month, of course, I discharged again from the Guard. This guy was in the reserves, and he said, "Hey, you got to come over and be in the reserves, man." I said, "Well, I can't do that. It's impossible because I'm working like 60 hours a week." And he said, "Oh, no, you can do it." And then that started an 11-year reserve career with the Army. So it was really good.
Wow. See, I hear stuff like that, man. I just feel like I haven't accomplished diddly squat in life when I hear you doing that. Now you're running for office, and that's awesome, man. I appreciate you doing that. I hope we have a lot more people like you coming up that do stuff like that, because I like guys who want to put foot to ass for America. I like that.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I found myself, I think I'm so fortunate. Everything turned good for me. Every time I tried something, it worked out good. And, you know, I had a good family backing. I mean, my wife supported me. I mean, she was in the kitchen in February this time when I said I was going to run for Congress. And she said, "Oh, hell, here we go," you know. But I said, I'm not going to do it without you. So, and I couldn't do it without her. So it's good to have, you got to have that. And that's where family comes in, right? We're stronger as a nation with strong families, you know.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. We are. That's. I mean, if somebody doesn't believe that, I don't know what to tell them on that. But yeah. I got a comment here. I want to hit you first. Eric Newman. Good evening, Eric. Thanks for tuning in, buddy. We got, and it says here, I'll put it up here for maybe you can see it. I'll put it up. "In my opinion, Alex has created his own base of around that 5% mark, probably with voters from all aspects of the GOP." Okay, I think that's from Clayton Peterson.
Okay. All right.
You're saying you're gonna grow that, and maybe you're gonna win one for the old Gipper here.
Well, they're telling me that 28% of the same poll says that 28% of the people are undecided. So if you're undecided out there, I'm gonna find you, and I'm gonna bend you. <so. laughs>
Yeah. So I seen House race. NRA did actually endorse Rick. Like I said, you got an AQ. I think Julie got an AQ on there. And today, was it today, Trump announced he endorsed Julie Fedorchuk, right?
Yep.
So I asked the question to a group of people I'm in on Facebook, and the word rhino gets thrown out, right, Alon? So I just threw it out as an ask to people, because I said, well, does that make Trump a rhino now? Because a bunch of people say Julie's a rhino, right? And or whatever, establishment. But I think the rhino word gets used a little too much, to be honest with you. Alex, I definitely don't think you are. You seem very conservative to me. But, I mean, what's your thoughts on him endorsing Julie?
Well, I reckon he was going to endorse somebody along the way. Even President Trump is entitled to one mistake. So I'll give him that one. you can't joke around with a thing like as big as endorsement for President Trump. Everyone would like to get endorsed by President Trump. The reality is that, it's okay to say, you know, those endorsements cost money, and I don't have that kind of money. But the bigger issue here is that we have to, regardless of this endorsement, stay true to our cause, stay in the campaign trail, do our work, because I don't think that, you know, the truth is endorsements don't vote. That's North Dakota voters. And I don't like the fact that people tell North Dakota voters, "Hey, here's the poll. Now you go vote what we tell you to do." Or here's an endorsement. Now you go vote because your vote doesn't matter anymore. And I want to start breaking that code, especially with North Dakotans, because that is across the United States. The news gets out first with a poll, or the news gets out first with something, and everybody kind of swings that way. And I think we're stronger than that.
Yeah, you got to have that kind of attitude as well, right? I mean, you never know, right? I'm just, but I hear that from a lot of people, like, you know, you're gonna, but you know what? People at Lake Rick think Julie's, or like I said, they call her a rhino.
Right.
And then, you know, whatever Julie's side says, Rick says no on everything. And I don't know. You know, it's.
Well, they spend a lot more time fighting than they do talking about policy, that's for sure.
Oh, man. That's funny right there. I like that. So, so when you were. When you were doing your stuff there, what was the main kind of guns you guys were using there when you were doing like the Air Force? Was there a different type of firearm you were mainly carrying from the Air Force into the Navy thing there and then into the Guard? I imagine the Guards were pretty much, you know, 20-inch M16s into the M4s.
Yeah. They'd started going into the M4. We were still jumping M16s, though, because I think they had so many of them, they didn't care if they got broken. And back in the Air Force, of course, it was the old M16s. That was back. That's a long time ago in that era. Supervisors in the field carried 30-06 Model 700s because we were so far remote that you may have
really.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have guessed that at all.
Yeah, well, we had, you know, that's the it was the Mark IV system in the military, which basically is a Model 700 30-06, right, or 7.62, but you know 30-06.
Yeah.
So. And you'd call in if you had a problem, of that nature, like if a bear, you had a bear or something. We really didn't have much problem with that. I don't know if it was just it was so damn noisy with 17 guys tromping around, you know, but,
yeah. You know? So what was your favorite to shoot? You think the carbine or the rifle? Cause the rifle, everything I've ever read, I've never shot an actual M16. I've shot some 20-inch barreled ARs, you know, not exactly the same, but they seem a lot smoother shooting with that rifle's gas system on it compared to, like, the carbine on the M4.
It actually is very smooth shooting. You're exactly right. I mean, it's not as short and pretty and sexy and everything else as the as the M4, but I found them, you know, once we got a little bit of some of the bugs worked out and you kept them clean, I found them to be super reliable and smooth. And, you know, we trained on those. Those were the things we grew up on then. So you had to go to a shorter weapon, though, for some of the stuff like getting in and out of boats and doing stuff in the Navy. It just didn't work with the long gun. So, yeah. And then, of course, anything with helos and stuff is short gun unless you're, you know, Army troops getting sent in. And then it's different, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah. So anybody just tuning in, Alex Balazs here, North Dakota GOP endorsed candidate for the U.S. House. I got Alex for about 7 more minutes. So if you guys got any questions you want to hit him up with, we're going through a lot of them here, Alex, right? But
absolutely. Yep.
How often, I'm just curious, how often did they tell you to clean, like, your service rifle there or carbine there in the military? How often did they?
I mean, it was incessant. We were cleaning to the point that we were wearing the guns out at some points. I'm not kidding you. So
I will tell you,
it was pretty sad at one point, you know, because we got big barrels of solvent. Not in the Air Force. I mean, they're much more conscious about the chemicals touching your bodies. But in the Navy, we had big barrels, and you got it all over the place. And I will say later on, they were issuing these cans of brake solvent, which, you know, if you've ever worked with it, you're not supposed to do that, right? But let me tell you what. Does it ever clean a gun?
It works great.
Everything comes off those guns. Yeah.
I've done it many when I clean, you know, a lot of times like the older, I mean, like the coatings they got on the newer bolts and stuff, the nitride and nickel boron, it's so much easier. I mean, I don't even clean my gun. I lube them up, you know, and I get to maybe 300-400 rounds. I lube the bolt and throw it back in until about 600 and clean them. But but brake cleaner, you're right. You hit it with brake cleaner, man. That stuff is freaking awesome. That cleans it. And I just make sure, or if you ever use like the ultrasonics, I use that too.
But. Oh yeah. Those are great. Yeah. We had a few tanks around. I mean, usually it took so long, people would just grab the brake cleaner and walk out and back. But, you know, cause you want to go to chow or you want to get out with stuff. But, you know, after you've done a bunch of chamber brushes and you're working hard and you can't get it out of there, one shot of brake cleaner, you're like, yeah, that's magic, you know?
So is that true what I hear? Like the drill sergeant will come by and then he wipes it in there and he's like, oh, there's a little spot of grease on here, carbon or whatever. I'm like, how the hell would you ever clean it so good that you couldn't get carbon on your finger?
I'll be honest, okay, maybe that's why I never made it to be a Marine. I have never gotten a gun clean enough for my armor. No matter what I did, they look at it and they're like, yeah, you did okay. You did. I mean, I would get it as spotless as I could, right? I mean, we're talking Q-tip clean. I couldn't get any cleaner and they'd always find something. So, you know, the nice thing about that is that You know, I'm just never going to be perfect that way, but I'm working at it. So,
yeah, I mean, I was that way too when I first started shooting ARs. I mean, and I'm like, God, you're supposed to clean these things all the time. This sucks. Super cool guns and shoot great and look badass. But man, I'm like, if I got to clean this thing every time. And finally, like I said, I just kind of shot it until I thought the bolt, I never did have any malfunctions, but I thought, about probably time I should do something with it. But
there you go. Well, you know, a lot of people don't like the Glocks, but I got to tell you what, you can shoot a Glock so dirty that it's disgusting. I mean, I've shot them to the point where you're looking at it, you're saying like, this thing should not shoot anymore, but it just functions. So, you know, and of course, you know, anything in the AK family, especially Russian made, it'll shoot dirty all day long, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're dirty. They're dirty communists anyway, but I mean,
that's exactly right. Yeah.
So, real quick, I got you about 4 minutes here, Alex. I forgot you were going to hit on the concealed weapon, concealed carry thing. Remember we talked at the beginning of the show here?
Yeah. So this is going to be hard for people here. So when you get all angry about it, just write a note to me or whatever. But, you know, that Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. So I'll get to the solution before I talk about the problem here. And that is this, before I'd go tackling any bill or moving anything or pretending that I'm God's own answer to the concealed carry, I'd look at exactly what came out of that. So I want to talk about what we live with in North Dakota today, because focus on shall not be infringed. And today in North Dakota, whether you like it or not, you still have to carry a license if you're going to carry a gun concealed. Yes, it's a driver's license or an ID, but according to your state's attorney or whatever Drew it is, you can read the opinion, go ahead and look it up. Mm-hmm. It says that license is exactly the same, shall be considered a concealed carry license. So therefore, you didn't get away from having a license. You got to carry one. That is, if you want to really look at it, in my opinion, look, I served, that's infringed because you still have a limit. And the second piece is this. That legislation also added on a very clear statement that said that if a law enforcement officer initiates contact with you while you are carrying concealed, you must declare to that law enforcement officer that you are carrying. Mm-hmm. Okay, now first of all, I agree with, I don't have any problem with law enforcement officers. I want to support them and I don't have any problem knowing I'm carrying. But the reality is, you're walking into a Denny's and they're walking out and they say good morning, they've just initiated contact. So what does the law say? The law says you have to tell them you're carrying. And as far as I'm concerned, that shall be infringed. So all I'm saying is this, if you're going to claim you solved all the problems, and you walk in and you still lay those kind of laws on me, what kind of legislation is that? And how is that going to serve you when you go to Congress? And I know I'm going to piss off a lot of people that are listening to this show, but you need to look at it hard, because before you start moving a lot of rules around and end up with the same thing, it's important to know where you're going.
No, I like what you said right there. You didn't piss me off with that at all. I agree. Well, me and Clay had talked about that too. And I was like, well, I mean, if you got to tell them if you had one and we're going to use it, like you'd tell them first, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, they should be ready. I would be, if I would walk up, I don't care if it was a woman or an 18-year-old looking kid or an older guy, I'd be like, hey, I'm ready. If this guy's going to jerk his gun on me and go to work, I'm going to be ready for it. But yeah, I never understood the tell them, like, I don't know if to make them comfortable or I don't know. I don't understand it.
Well, and I want to support law enforcement. So if it helps them do their job, I get it.
Sure.
I get it. And for all law enforcement out there, if you're working and you feel like you need to know that in order to do your job, I don't know if that's the case, but my point is I support that. But all I want people to do is read it and realize that we didn't walk away clean with a shall not be infringed rule in North Dakota. So let's just be honest about it.
I think the problems I've heard too that people have with it is like, you know, it's just for in-state people. If you come in from somewhere else, you can't, you know, it's not truly, which I mean, should be nationwide in my opinion, but we'll see what happens soon. We'll see what happens with the 35, or 34 convictions that happened today, but.
Yeah. And we've got tough work to do when Trump gets back in office. And I'm thinking he will get back in office to make sure we keep these gun laws off, these recent ones Biden's trying to put down on us. Come on, this is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he's not letting up. I mean, they never let up, right? That's kind of the reason Clay and I started Guns in the 7-1s, because, you know, they're never going to stop, and neither can we. So it's all right, Alex, you said you had 30 minutes. You got to get back to the convention. I appreciate you coming on. You ever want to come on again, you let me know. Win or lose, you're more than welcome to come back on anytime.
I really appreciate it. I'm going to take a heavy barrel 700 down 300 Win Mag to do elk hunting this year, just to see what it feels like.
That is awesome, man. I tell you what, if you get one, come back on. Let's talk some elk hunt with you.
I'm going to bring some sausage down for you next time I'm coming down.
Perfect. I'll trade you some of mine. You give me some of yours. That's awesome, man.
Heck of a deal.
All right.
Thanks so much,
Josh Patterson.
I really appreciate it.
You bet. Josh Patterson said you got his vote, Alex.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks,
you
Alex. You bet.
Talk
you have a good evening. You bet.
Be
See
safe.
You too.
Bye.
All right, guys. Alex Blasi said he was going to give me 30 minutes, and that's what he did. He's at the Young Republicans Convention here at the Civic Center, I believe he said. So he's going to head back in there. And I'm gonna do our first ad. I didn't do it right away because I wanted Alex to get his whole time in here. So I'm gonna do our first ad. I know I'm a little late on it, but hey, that's how it goes. We'll do our double ad first here. Be back in a couple minutes, you guys. And I seen there's some comments. I'm gonna hit those. Anybody else has got any comments? Hit it.
Now let me see your war face. Ah! You don't scare me.
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
You bet. Back here, JD, 701 Nation. Thanks again for Alex coming on there. It'd have been nice to have him for the whole show. But like I said, he's talking to the Young Republicans down there at their meeting or convention, what they got at the Civic Center or whatever it is. Whatever. I don't know what you call it in Bismarck. The Event Center. I call it the Civic Center yet because that's what it was when I was a kid. But yeah, and by all means, support our sponsors. And if you do, please tell them you heard it on Guns in the 701 or 701 Nation. That's the only way they know that their message is getting out. But I'm going to hit some comments here. Going back, we were talking about Trump endorsing Julie Fedorchak. Lynette Case said, I bet his advisors picked her. He doesn't even know every person running in every state. It's our job to pick the best candidate for our state. Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt that. That could very well be true, Lynette. I mean, I think you're probably right, actually. And Guns in the 701 says, spot on, Lynette. Josh Patterson, I mentioned his comment. He said, what's up? I'm late to the show, but I'm here. Appreciate that, Josh. I really do appreciate you guys getting in here. Whether you're late, right on time, it doesn't matter to me. And let's see. Guns in the 701 says, we need to finish it and fix it. I believe talking about the concealed or the permitless carry. But it would not have passed. So those along with the being a North Dakota resident where the concessions are. Yeah, that's true. I think we talked about that. And you put it out there and you want the whole kit and caboodle, but that just isn't how it works most of the time. Yep, made the pass. That's right. And then Josh said he has his vote. All right. right. All right, guys. So we're going to go on here a little bit. If you honestly got anything you want to ask me about Alex in the comments, I mean, I asked him the two comments that I promised Rick and one of the viewers there the other night, and Alex answered it right away. So I'm going to go on just real quick. I got a few quick things here because, like I said, probably going to go a little longer than an hour tonight, but whatever. We're talking governor, right? I'm wearing the hat. Kelly Armstrong, endorsed by the NRA, and in fact, today endorsed by Trump. But his opposition, the Democrat opposition, is going to be, I'm fairly certain, it's going to be Peepcorn out of Fargo. I guess his name again, Peep, because I want to say Dave Peepcorn is a Merrill Peepcorn. Yeah, Dave Peepcorn is the, I think he's a Republican down there, but Merrill Peepcorn and Pat Hart. So let's talk a little bit about their Second Amendment. You know, everybody's got, not everybody, you're going to find that out. They should have what their stance is on their website, right? At least on their website. You know, you click on priorities or issues or whatever it is. Well, you can go on there. I think it's MerrillForND.com. Not a thing on there about Second Amendment, civil rights, guns, nothing. Looked on the NRA grades. They didn't even bother to fill it out. Not at all. And the other night, like I said to Trig V. Tackhammer, I don't think he filled any, I know he didn't fill anything out on there either. And so I'm going to just go ahead and do what me and Clayton did the other night for Peepcorn and Hart. And I know, here's what I know about Pat Hart. Nice guy. Met him. He has a side business. It's actually growing pretty good in Bismarck. I'm not going to say what it is and help him out because he's a Democrat. But he did some work for us when him and I think his brother-in-law started out doing, it's kind of a construction thing. And I mean, he was looking for a gun. I could tell he wasn't real pro gun, which is fine. A lot of people aren't like me. But he ended up buying like a 30-06 hunting rifle. And then Kevin Kramer had posted something online, I don't know, months later. And I see Pat Hart's name come up on there, and I knew it was him by his profile picture. Nobody needs an AR-15 or a magazine that holds more than 10 rounds. I mean, it was so, you know, the whole thing. So, you got the bolt gun, but that's, you know, like Alex was saying, if you're banning all these other guns, that's an infringement. But and people who think that just AR-15s are used in mass shootings, or for that matter, 10-round magazines, I debunked that many times on the show. Parkland, 10-round magazines, you know, Virginia Tech, 10-round magazines. So banning those down to 10 rounds is not going to do it. And they won't stop there. They went past that in New York and all this other crap. But Peepcorn and Hart didn't bother to fill out the NRA thing questionnaire. I'll tell you why, because they're anti-gun. You want to know what their Second Amendment views are? Go on the DNC's national platform like Joe Biden. Ban this, ban that, mandatory background checks, red flag laws, pretty much jump through all the loopholes to exercise your Second Amendment civil rights. So that's that. And, of course, Kelly Armstrong, A-plus from the NRA, right here. Right. I mean, the guys, we had him on. You don't get much. I don't know if you get more pro-gun than he is. So, all right, I'm going to get a few comments here for you. Keep going. Lynette K., Tim B. said the governor debate is on TV tonight and Tammy is showing her. I did see that. Sorry, Kelly, nobody's watching, man. They're all watching 701 Nation, except for Tim. Dave Young, sped Dems need to leave Trump alone. I want cheap gas and groceries. But yeah, not just that, Dave. I want the border secured again. You know, I always say Trump's what Biden's wife say the other day. If Trump gets in, we won't have any rights left. Well, your husband is the guy trying to shut everybody down on social media, silence their First Amendment rights. On a damn near daily basis, Joe Biden is talking about taking away Second Amendment rights. He leaves the border wide open. He doesn't care about going in and kicking doors down and violating your Fourth Amendment rights. And he sure as hell doesn't care about making the court his own little attack dogs, which was proven on Trump today, especially with the ridiculous 34 convictions. I mean, come on. None of them should even have went to court. But, yeah, that is absolutely freaking stupid. So, you know, when a Democrat tells you they're for – our democracies, and first of all, we're a republic, a democracy, it's a democratic process how we vote. Our democracy isn't in trouble because we don't have a freaking democracy. We have a constitutional representative republic. So, yeah, it just grinds my teeth when I hear the Democrats say that. It's freaking ridiculous. Anyway, let's go on here to the next. I'll tell you what, speaking of Democrats, I got a good article here. And, yeah, I only got one screen, so here's what I'm going to do. I got it from thefederalist.com. The top 11 flags you should fly to trigger communist, leftist enemies of the people. And that's what they are. Don't make. And they did forget a couple on here, which I will add what I think they forgot towards the end here. So, and they got some of the flags they fly, BLM and the Ukraine, these pro terrorists and the rainbow flag crew and all these. You know, I mean, if you pay attention to politics at all, you know it kind of weird. But let's hit it. The top 11, the number one flag to trigger leftists, of course. The U.S. flag, because, you know, you're showing patriotism, and it just peeves the left because they can't stand that people like me and probably most of the people watching this and rewatching or listening to on the podcast, they hate it that we think America's the best. In fact, I don't think America's the best. I freaking know we're the best. This is the last beacon of freedom on the entire freaking globe. So that's the number one thing you're going to tweak them out. And, yeah, I mean, this is funny here. This is not even that old of an article. If you want to, and it says, if you're a little more daring, this is going to pertain to something, you know, new here, to teach your Trump-hating, slur-slinging neighbor a lesson, consider flying it upside down to express your belief that the country is in dire distress. Hey, and what are they doing to Alito and his wife now? Because Alito's wife flew it upside down, right? Oh, that's an insurrectionist flag. No, it's not. The American flag's an insurrectionist flag when it's upside down now? No. The country's in dire distress, and I agree with Alito's wife there 100%. The country isn't. This is it, man. If Joe Biden wins this, I'll tell you what. Joe Biden appointed 200, I think, some judges, which Trump had a lot of them. Biden appointed way more than that. And since Biden's appointees, the leftists, which you see in New York, that is a leftist, one-sided, if you don't agree with them, they hate you. They control 3/4 of the courts in this country now. So if you're one of these guys, well, I don't like what Trump says, and we'll get him next time. There is no freaking next time. Because if Biden gets in and they hold the Senate, he'll appoint more of these judges. They'll just freaking, they'll rule your freaking, that is where your rights are going to go bye-bye. Right there. The judicial appointments are the most important thing. When I think the first time I ever met my buddy Clay Peterson here, my friend Clay Peterson face to face, I was one of the first things him and I talked about. It was a coyote hunt with Scott Bachmeyer out in Western North Dakota. I can't remember the fella's ranch. Had a good time, did some shooting. We didn't hit any coyotes. We missed some, but Clay and I talked about that then. And is more important now than it ever is. The judicial appointments are freaking huge. So if you don't like what Trump tweets or what he says or what he does, suck it up, man, because your feelings aren't going to matter when you go to a court that hates you. So number two, let's get to the number two flag, the Gadsden flag. And I don't have the pictures up here. I'm sorry about that. You want to look it up, look it up. Everybody knows, not everybody, but most people know what the Gadsden flag is. Don't tread on me, the coiled snake, yellow. Named for Colonel Chris Gadsden, a Revolutionary War era leader of the South Carolina Sons of Liberty and Brigadier General in the Continental Army, the Gadsden flag draws on themes invoked by Ben Franklin's famous Join or Die cut-up snake cartoon, which I think our buddy Marty Beard has that tattoo on his hand, actually, which I wouldn't want that hand coming across my face. So, the coiled-up American timber rattlesnake. Okay, I didn't know it was a timber rattler. On a yellow background suggested the American colonies were finally united enough to strike at the foreign power threatening their rights. Perfect. Perfect. I like that. And, oh, man, the Democrats freaking hate that flag. They hate it. They hate it. Number three, the Gonzalez flag. If you don't know what the Gonzalez flag is, got the star and a cannon on it. Come and take it. The battle, it was Mexican general's name. It'll come to me here. But the come and take it flag gained popularity after the 1835 Battle of Gonzales down Texas, the showdown between Texas settlers and a tyrannical Mexican government. The Spanish cannon in the center of the flag represents the real cannon. I thought we could never own those, Joe said. Yeah, man, back even then you couldn't own them. He still can now, too. But the Spanish cannon in the center of the flag represents the real cannon. Texans were gifted to fend off Native American-led raids, which I was actually just watching a thing today about the Comanche and Apache down there. The stuff they did to each other. I mean, hey, it was heavy territorial wars into taking each other's land. So it's not just a white man deal over here doing that. When the Mexican Revolution began brewing, the Mexican government tried to take back the weapon. The Texans refused, challenging the dictator soldiers to come and take it. And that's exactly where it came from, the come and take it flag. So we go to number four here, the Bedford flag. I've never heard of this one, actually. It's red with kind of a ribbon on it. Vinci, something, I don't know, some language I don't understand. The Bedford flag is often considered the oldest battle flag carried into battle in the history of America. The flag features a red background and armored arm wielding a sword. Three cannonballs, okay, Latin expression, Vinci aut, ut more, which translate conquer or die. The flag was believed to be carried by the Bedford Minuteman Nathaniel Page at the Battle of Concord, 1775, as a symbol of American patriots willing to die for our freedoms. Perfect. Next one. Yeah, I've seen this one trigger him too. Betsy Ross flag. You know, it looks like our flag now, but it's got the circle of the stars in there. Betsy Ross version of that flag would come to represent the newly independent United States of America, serves as a proud symbol of the American Revolution and the liberties American colonists fought to secure. Yeah, I can't remember not long ago here, the leftists were going apeshit over this flag. I think it was, an insurrectionist flag or some crap like that. But, you know, okay, right here it says, since its inception, the iconic flag has suffered several cancellation attempts and smears. In 2019, failed NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick convinced his corporate partner, Nike, that their Betsy Ross flag shoes were racist. Yeah, whatever, Kaepernick, you're a freaking racist. You're a bigot, too. All right, the next one, the Culpeper Minuteman flag. I didn't know what this one was, but Marty Beard has this. First time I ever saw it, the Culpeper Minuteman. Again, it's white and black. It says the Culpeper Minuteman, snake coiled up. Liberty or death, don't tread on me below that. Let's see here. Revolutionary War message that fueled the Continental Army's fight against the British Crown. And I just kind of described it there. Okay, Patrick Henry's famous quote, give me liberty or give me death, is one of the deals I use for that. Then the Goliad flag, kind of got a big muscular arm on it and a big sword with blood dripping on it. It's red. Captain Philip DeMitt designed the bloody arm flag. Okay, there you go. In 1885 to celebrate the Goliad Declaration of Independence in Mexico-controlled Texas. Yeah, they're really getting at it there with the Mexicans on Texas back then. Although only flown for a short time, the flag honored Texas as a free, sovereign, and independent state and represented a dramatic shift towards complete independence from Mexico that was solidified with the Texas Declaration of Independence in 1836. The flag now represents DeMitt's belief that I would rather cut off my right arm than live under tyranny. And I believe the man probably would have done that. This one here I never heard of either. Huntington Liberty flag. In case you just tuned in, I see we got some more people. I'm reading the 11 flags you can fly that will trigger commie leftists here. Huntington Liberty flag. It's just red with white. It says Liberty on the bottom. I mean, I could have put it on there, but you know, there, right there. The version of the Huntington Liberty flag featured nods to the British Red Ensign and King George III. Once news of the Declaration of Independence spread to Huntington, New York, the King's colors and the word George III were ripped off the flag. Okay, well, maybe that's why it's on the bottom. Just words are on the bottom there. The red emblazoned with the word Liberty showed a stark contrast between the British Crown's autocratic reign and colonists' vision for the 13 colonies. Okay, next one, Christian flag. I think most people know this one. Yeah, I mean, man, the left, a big portion of the left hates Christians. And as I said before, I'm not like a huge religious guy, but I just don't understand the angst people have towards somebody's religion. That baffles me. But, you know, blue with the Red Cross. The Christian flag is often smeared by corporate media as a weapon of white nationalists, as opposed by local governments as a violation of a version of the separation of church and state. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get into the whole thing on that. That doesn't mean what a lot of people think it says. In reality, Sunday school teacher Charles Overton pieced together the red, white, and blue fabric and cross symbol to represent Jesus Christ's blood and sacrifice, purity, peace, and fidelity to God and his kingdom. Okay, I don't have a problem with that at all. Navy Jack flag. This is another don't tread on me. Red and white. Got this yellow and red snake on it. Says don't tread on me. First used as a signal to engage the enemy by Commodore Essex Hopkins in 1775. The 13 red and white stripes covered by a lengthy gold and red rattlesnake and don't tread on me declaration were designed to showcase the Continental Navy's defiance of the British. Yeah, the defense of it. The flag was the official Navy Jack for the U.S. Navy from 1975 to 76 and post 9/11 from 2002 to 2019. All right, we're getting towards the end here, and I'm going to give you, a couple of them I think we should have on here. But Bunker Hill flag, which I'm just going to put it up here because I can't really the Christmas tree there. I'm sure they'll say what it is here. The Bunker Hill flag was allegedly flown at the Battle of Bunker Hill in 1775. While the flag has a historically debated past, its iconic pine tree and patriotic colors still represent freedom for the New England colonists of the past and Americans of today. All right, so it's kind of an Eastern United States thing. That's cool. So that was the end of it. That was number 11. Now, if you guys got any think that or miss, I can tell you one of them that probably should have been right near the top, and that would be any flag that says Trump 2024, Trump 2020, anything with Trump on it will trigger the hell out of those people. All right, I'm going to get to a few comments here before I keep going here. Guns in the 701. I own all those flags, buddy, plus the Confederate battlefield flag and others. That's my buddy Clay Peterson right there. Flew all of them throughout the commie Obama reign of tyranny. And I know Dougie, my buddy Dougie there, Lauer Auto Repair, one of the great sponsors of our show. He's got all kinds of them too. I mean, he's got a great one up there. The AR-15 on it, I think it just says FO on it when the guy's holding an AR-15, which I definitely love that. But all right, guys, we're going to hit another ad here, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to hit on the celebrity zeros of the week. Some of you are going to be disappointed. I know I was. I was disappointed too. I was disappointed in these guys, but we're gonna come back. We're going to hit on the celebrity zeros of the week. And then I got a happy ending, and I do a little, what we got coming up here. So I'd say we got about 15, 20 minutes of the show left, but I'm gonna hit the advertisement here. So I'll be back here shortly with you guys and gals.
Ah! Ah! That's a war face. Now let me see your war face.
Ah!
You don't scare me.
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck, Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
We'll be right back.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Ever tried catching a fish with your bare hands or hunting a deer with a stick? Don't be that guy. At Mandan Sporting Goods, we've got all the hunting and camping gear you need. We're your one-stop shop for outdoor adventure.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Check us out at mandansportinggoods.com or, better yet, stop in to 210 East Main Street, Mandan, North Dakota. Mandan Sporting Goods, where the outdoors meets functionality. Store hours, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Closed Sunday. Take up arms at Mandan Sporting Goods. Your adventure starts here.
Discover the world of firearms at Bismarck's Double H Gun Shop. With a wide range of products from handguns to rifles, we cater to all your shooting needs. We are your local gun experts. Not only do we sell firearms, reloading supplies, targets, and whatever your heart desires, but we also have a ton of knowledge and answers.
We shoot, we hunt, we compete, we reload.
It's been the Howard's way since 1976, and we ain't fixing to change anything. Visit our website at hhgunshop.com to browse our inventory. Double H Gun Shop, Bismarck's best new and used firearms. Firearm reloading supply, gunsmithing, and sporting goods store. Double H Guns.
Double H Guns.
1021 South Washington Street, Bismarck, North Dakota. Call 701-223-4888.
All right, we're back. We're back. Like I said, we're going to hit on celebrity zeros of the week here. And this week, our celebrity zeros, I regret to say, are, I don't know if you ever, some people know this guy, Tim Kennedy. I think he was a Green Beret and a UFC fighter, popular, you know, live streamer, whatever you want to call it, personality. And he owns a gun shop in Texas. And, of course, the Hodge twins. Everybody knows the Hodge twins, right? I love the Hodge twins. Tim Kennedy, I've never really liked the guy. I don't know. Just something about the guy freaking rubs me the wrong way. He's kind of a, I don't know, he's weird to me. But Hodge twins like them. But here's the reason they're zeros this week. This week. For this specific purpose. Overall, you know, I'd probably agree with the Hodge twins almost on everything. Tim Kennedy, I don't know, he's kind of a libertarian kind of dude, but not too long ago, well, a couple years ago, he was on Lance Armstrong, the Forward podcast, and if you know anything about Lance Armstrong, big, big leftist, heavy gun control freak, hates Donald Trump, where he was criticizing, you know, their lack of gun laws, and he was voicing support for barring AR-15 access to 19-year-olds. Saying, at what point are we going to wake up and say we have to change gun laws? We have to change culturally what we're doing with guns and kids. No, I mean, I don't even think this guy has kids. I grew up with guns. Most people listening here probably did. I don't know what, you know, what's he talking about? And he said, this is what really gets me. Kennedy said, I believe gun control is a massive solution. A massive solution. Really, gun control is. How's that working in these... in these states and cities who have massive gun control? They ain't working worth shit. And then Armstrong responded to him, good, good. I watched this clip too. Good. I didn't expect you to say that. Oh, he was just, oh, a tingle went down his leg. He loved it, you know. This big right winger, supposedly. Didn't expect him to be on my team with gun control. So here's what Kennedy said about, I don't think a 19-year-old should have access to an AR-15. I don't think they should be able to buy a pistol. Fortunately, they can't. Hey, dude, that depends on a 19-year-old, just like it does a lot of freaking people in their 20s. So that's a bogus argument. We got 19, 18-year-olds in the military shooting and using and carrying and whatever a lot more powerful guns than an AR-15 or a freaking pistol for that matter. And I mean, he kind of did voice his support for allowing teachers to be armed, which, all right, I'll give him some credit on that. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago here, he was on the Hodge twins, and I mean, Kennedy's doubled down on this a few times. I've seen him called out on it by people. And, you know, guy doesn't back down from it. And he owns a freaking gun shop in Texas. I mean, why would you go to a guy's gun shop who likes gun control? So he was on with the Hodge twins, and they're both agreeing, yeah, you know, well, we forget as gun owners that the first part of the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia, and then the Hodge twins go on, we do. You know, they're that's the liberal belief that the well-regulated militia means, like, the regulated does not mean, especially when they wrote the Second Amendment, does not mean, yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to regulate how many balls of, you know, musket balls you can have and powder. And if you don't like that, we'll send the British over to the Concord Bridge and have a little talk with you. Well, you saw how that ended up. But yeah, they were all about that. And you know, there's good forms of gun laws, and they didn't get real specific about it. They were going on with the deal about, you know, if you're a felon, there's no way you should ever own a gun again, which we've talked about that before. I think that's complete bullshit. If you go to prison, you do your time and you're a felon, you come out, you should get all your freaking rights back. If you're too dangerous to own a gun, then in my opinion, you're too goddamn dangerous to be out of prison. You should stay in there then, you know, because more people die, and well-known, well-said, more people die from fists and getting beat with a bat far more than they do with any AR-15s combined in a year. So that's a joke. And then, of course, they go on to say, well, they don't want the government to regulate anything then. And I'm, you know, they're trying to like play both sides of the aisle. I don't know why, because most of the time the Hodge twins are very, very non-PC and very to the right, but they were both kind of playing up on, you know, we don't want the government, but we think some gun laws work. And so that kind of stuff will earn you JD's celebrity zero of the week. And I guess if you guys disagree with me on that one, by all means, put it in the chats. I'd love to hear why, because that is a zero's opinion right there. All right, I'm going to get to some comments. Brian Warner said, got my Ted Nugent, I will not comply flag. Don't imagine I like that one. Yeah, I mean, anything at Ted Nugent, Brian, you're right, will trigger the hell out of him. Doug Wolf, hey, Lance, we should do more drug testing. Yeah, Tour de Lance, but just make sure when you're doing a tour, you're getting a lot of PEDs in your blood system so you can win. And then, you know what worked out for him, though? The guy's a freaking millionaire, and he cheated, and he got his victory strip, but. You know, and he lives in Texas, for Christ's sake. Eric Newman, I was born with a gun in one hand and a fishing rod in the other. That's perfect. A lot of people should be born like that, actually. Anyway, all right, we're going to go on here. I'm going to go on. This is what I'm going to do right now. Happy ending, and then I'm going to tell you guys a few things here. Stick around. I'm done with the happy ending. Don't drop off. I got a few things I want to get into. Not into, just mention about one of our sponsors here. And we were going to do a giveaway, but I'll bring that up shortly here. So anyways, happy ending of the week here. Coming from Armed Citizen, American Rifleman, great magazine. And by the way, the demise of the NRA has been greatly exaggerated. In fact, I'm going to leave that up to Clay and boys, because Clay's more into the law stuff than me. But the NRA just went to the Supreme Court, I think, and won a 9-0 or decision, or was it the State Court of New York, whatever it was, a First Amendment case. So anybody bitching about the NRA, guess what? NRA's, they're kicking ass yet, and, well, they don't got any members yet, JD. Yeah, there's still over 5 million, and it's going to grow again. Anyway, enough of my NRA pimping. So here we go. Dateline, March 9th, 2024. Here we're going to New Mexico during the early morning hours. Like I said, March 9th, a 29-year-old piece of shit broke into the home of an elderly couple. The noise of their garage, of course, being broken into. They woke up, they go down to the garage together, see what's going on. and upon seeing them, the intruder attacked. Pushed the old woman down, elderly woman, just shoves her down, couldn't care less, you know, if she's a mom or a grandma or whatever, just shoves her down because he's a piece of shit and wants to take their stuff. Her husband wouldn't have none of that. I love it. Pulls out the old pistolio, shot, and kills this guy, the assailant. And I get this, guys, this is going to be a big shocker to everybody, right? The intruder was well known to law enforcement. And as we know, New Mexico, run by a bunch of leftists. Say, hey, man, this guy's only had like freaking 50 arrests. Just let him off the hook. No. So, yeah, well known to law enforcement. History of breaking and entering, criminal trespass, including an instance at a freaking nursing home. This guy was that's why I said he's a piece of shit. Burglary, resisting arrest, and battery of a peace officer. I mean, that's including all his bigger. So thank you to the gentleman there in that house for doing America a favor, making it a happy ending, because guess what? That guy's not breaking into nursing homes anymore. He's not pushing down old ladies. He's not breaking in and stealing people's stuff that they worked for and paid for themselves in their own damn house. So thank you, sir, for doing that. All right, I got a few more comments here. Then I'm going to get in here. All right, okay, right here. Clay is going to talk about that on Mitchell in the Morning tomorrow, which I'm going to segue that in. Mikey D and Clay going to be on MIM. Like Clay's got their Mitchell in the Morning, 8:40 a.m. Central. I don't know what that is, Mountain Time, Clay. 7:40 Mountain, KFYR, 5:50 a.m., 99.7 FM, or get it on iHeartRadio, any of those. I actually like it, guys, if you listen to it, and you can do it on iHeart, I like that because that's the only way Todd and K-Fire can get a read on how many people are listening. And then we, you know, boys do get damn good list. Todd told me we get damn good listenership on there just from listening right on iHeart in the Bismarck area. So if you can listen to it on iHeart, do that. It helps us out. And like I said, tomorrow morning, 8:40 a.m. Central, I'll be listening myself on iHeart. So that's awesome. Lynette K says, great show, Jamie. What's the chances you can get Julie Fedorchuk on the talk Second Amendment? You know, Lynette, I've asked her campaign advisor more than once. I said, welcome anytime. Just, you know, come on for 30 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you want to do. And that invitation is still out. Maybe she's ahead and, you know, she's got her NRA answer questionnaire. She got an AQ on that, which I'll commend her for that. That's great. Hopefully if she is elected, she sticks to that. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to talk to her either way. And it's always nice to get a personal response from somebody. I like to see their face and see their reaction to talking about stuff, how genuine they look to me. But yeah, Julie, you're welcome on anytime. Anytime you're welcome on. If you can watch any other interview we had, I think you're a nice person. I really don't, you know people say you're establishment. Maybe you are. I mean, you know, prove me wrong. I mean, you know, but like I said, when I said when Rick was on, she is more popular over in Fargo. So then, you know, probably not as, maybe I should say probably, but maybe not as conservative as I'd like her to be. So whatever. And I'm not as conservative as a lot of people like think I should be, but well, that's the way I am. I'm a fairly conservative guy. Some people think I'm a right-wing nut and other people think I'm a establishment dude. There you go, bad boy. Always vote pro-Constitution. That's 100% right, Brandon. As long as you do that and you want to deal with the rest of the stuff and hash it out, perfect. But the Constitution, that should never be up for grabs or up for debate on something. So Clay and I were going to do Saturday, we were going to do the grand opening at Mandan Sporting Goods, but I talked to Brandon. He said, you know, I'm busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. You know, Clay and I could have done it, but he wants to be involved in doing the whole thing, which is great. I mean, it's his store, and I love it. I'd love Brandon can be there with us doing it, too, because we want to do it live. So I'm not sure if it's going to be next week or the week after the grand opening. He is going to be open, like I said. June 1st is like Deacon said, his soft opening, and the new address for that is two blocks north of Main Runnings in Mandan, 206 4th Avenue Northwest. So if you guys are out and about, he's got a big sign out, you know, the mobile sign out there. It's easy to find. If you know, I would wait, though. I mean, if you're going to go there, go ahead. But grand opening, I mean, there's going to be some deals to be had here if you listen to Guns in the 701's live stream and go over there. I'm pretty sure we're going to be pulling that off. So, yeah, that's not happening Saturday. Number two thing, I still didn't get to it. I tell you what, Clay and Deacons and Vance got the, like, say it again, the one free barrel threading job from Bloodline Kinetics. You get the thread protector, one thread adapter for whatever specific caliber and barrel diameter. Not refundable for cash or other offers. That's $100 to $150 value. Got the card right here. Focus on it. Worth it there. Oh, yeah. Clay and the boys got one. I'm going to do that. I think next Thursday I'm going to do it. And I'll tell you what, next Thursday, I thought you'd do every other week, JD. I usually do, but I don't know if you guys ever, you know, you listen to Scotty Bachmeyer's show there Saturday mornings, Dakota Perry Outdoors, or if you watch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures, Levi Nelson. I'm not sure if he's officially part of the team there or not, but he definitely does stuff with their buddy John Armin. But Levi went to Canada, and him and his buddy, and he got himself a bear. And I knew he was going up there, and I said, you get that bear, you come on, let's talk about your bear hunt. And he did. He contacted me yesterday, or I contacted. I think I've sent him a link to the show or something. He got back to me, but he's going to come on next Thursday, Operation Overlord Day. What? June 6th, D-Day, if you don't know. He's going to come on, and we're going to talk about his bear hunt, and I'm quite sure there's going to be some deer hunting and some firearm talk. And Levi's a big bow hunter. So I think he got his deer up there, or his deer. I think he got his bear with the bull. I'm not exactly sure, but he's a big old bear himself. Good young guy, works his ass off, you know, farms, ranches, works at the power plant, a coal miner, great North Dakota kind of guy. But we're going to have him on there talking about that. And, you know, looking forward to that because I don't know diddly shit about bear hunting. And I don't know that much about bow hunting. I got a few things with my bow. Speaking of that, Clayton, next time you're up here, remind me. I got to send my crossbow down. Eric Newman's buying that from me. But all right, so I forgot Waylon Turnus. Hey, buddy, I missed your comment way back. Waylon got in. Good seeing you on. And he said, next week could be a good week with Buggies and Blues. Might get a lot of traffic. Yeah, yeah, I'd love it. That'd be awesome. And he said, that's awesome. Levi's a great guy. Yeah, yeah, because he's kind of from down around your area, I think, Waylon, right? But yeah, it's going to be, should be a good show. Love it. And of course the guys are going to have their show on next Wednesday again, Guns in the 701. So if you didn't get enough of us this week, you'll get us again, double next week. And then the week after that's going to be 2 weeks later. And I got it. I hope it works out this time, but my buddy Wyatt, big side-by-side, UTV Razor, he's in the market for a brand new, cabbed, you know, UTV side by side, and he's going to go through all of them. We're just doing the top brands, all of them in Bismarck area here with the cab and the heat and the air. And he's going to come on, he's doing his research on them because he's way better at that than I am. I think they're all cool, but Wyatt can get more in depth on it. We're going to give you guys a little preview of all the top models, like the 1000s with the cab, like I said, and all that. And so, yeah, all right, Waylon says, yeah, Levi is down from his area. Awesome, man. So yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna do for this giveaway on this barrel thing or what Clay and you guys are gonna do, but I am gonna do it. So if you got yourself a rifle, and I know Waylon does because I've mentioned this before and I never did get to it yet, but if you got yourself a rifle that needs threaded, and it does need threading because you do need to get yourself a suppressor, which by the way, Mandan Sporting is go over there. That's your one-stop suppressor shop. Head over there. And of course, got a gun test this weekend. I'm going to talk to Axe either after the show or tomorrow, but I got a 220 Swift. We're going to do a range day. I personally have never shot a 220 Swift. A lot of people love it. Clay's got one. I've seen Clay shoot it. Prey dogging thing was devastating. Clay kicked ass with that thing. He was right on the money. This one's supposed to be right on the money. We got two or three different kinds of ammo. So we're going to do that. I think it's kind of an oddball because it's kind of, I think it's a like a bull barrel or a heavy barrel, but I haven't took it out of the case yet, but it's going to be fun. We're going to do the range test. I don't know if we're going to have gel, probably not, but we'll set up enough water jugs to like we did at the 270 there too. And we'll catch the slug and we'll do an accuracy test and, you know, we'll probably shoot it out to 500 yards. So that should be pretty sweet. We'll get that together and get it up next week on all our outlets. But other than that, guys, I think, man, I'm just checking my list here. Boy, I think I got, I know what else I was going to say. You know, we can't, it's hard to, you know, put stuff on social media, what our gun sponsors have in their store. So when Clay and I do the live, we're just going to do it on Rumble X on our website. And I don't know about Twitch, because if you do it on Facebook or YouTube, they'll snipe you. But go on, you can go on HH Guns website, and I think you can subscribe to their email, because every week they get new guns and new ones too, but Daryl goes to auctions, and if you're interested in older guns or unique guns, he has those. But you can get on their email list, and I think he sends that out every week. You guys can check that out if you're interested in that. So okay, here we go. Josh Patterson said, my neighbor has a 220 Swift. He loves it for P Dogs. Yeah, 220 Swift is, man, everybody I know who has one or talks about them, they love them. Bad Boys Outdoors says, all my 2A items have re-identified to fairy dusters, so I no longer own firearms. Would you give her one of these deals? Sprinkle that duster on it. Anyway, all right, guys. Hour and 16 minutes. I'm going to end the stream. Appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. Had a great guest lineup. Alex Balazs is on for that first 30 minutes there, and then I went through some stuff. You got any other questions? We got an email, or you can, send it to me and Clay or Deacons or whoever on Facebook or whatever you want. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate that. Great show, JD. Appreciate you taking the time to listen again, along with everybody else. It's awesome. Love doing this. Doesn't look like the end's in sight. We're always looking for new sponsors too. Hey, thanks. Great Bad Boys Outdoors. Great show, buddy. Appreciate that. Thank you. There you go, Brian Warner. Daryl's website is awesome. Always up to date list. Right on, Brian. Right on. I get it every week and look at it. I'm trying to figure out a way where I can promote that a little better for him, but without getting us booted. So anyway, we're going to work on that, guys. Tune in tomorrow, Mitchell in the morning, 8:40 a.m. Central. Clay and Deacons are on there. They're going to have two or three good topics. But like I said, try to get on there on iHeart. That helps us out with Todd, so Todd can see who's listening on there all the better. So, all right, guys, thanks again. JD, Guns in the 701, please get out there, support. You know what? God damn it. I'm not going to do it. We're late in the show. I forgot to play the last ad. Dougie, you can crack me over the head for not doing it. But Lauer Auto Repair, Bismarck, 309 South Washington. Get anything wrong with your automobile, take it down there. Oil change, whatever you want. Doug and the boys will take care of you. Bloodline Kinetics, he can build you a custom-made rifle. Check out their website. They're on Facebook as well. Barrel threading, like I said, we're going to do that. And he's got a laser there. You can laser whatever you want on your knife, on your mugs. You got a gun you already own. You want something put on there, do that. And rechambers barrels. He does all that kind of stuff. And like I said, Man Down Sporting Goods, Brandon, got all the guns, ammo, suppressors you want. Daryl here at Double H Guns in Bismarck, he's got guns, ammo, reloading stuff as well. And Daryl likes a lot of that older gun stuff. And if you're looking for something, get in there and talk to him, because Daryl's like a bloodhound sniffing that stuff out. So, all right, guys. I'm going to end. It's all good, Lynette says. She's got the lies there. All right, Lynette, thank you. And again, thanks, everybody, tuning in. I really appreciate you. Please spread the word, 701 Nation, Guns in the 701. Tomorrow at some point, the podcast will be up. I'll post it on Facebook. And I can put it on my 701 Nation X page, but for whatever reason, it won't let me. I think I'm going to end up deleting that so Clay can try and get me on Guns in the 701 on X. But yeah, check it out. Send that podcast out to everybody. Let everybody know we're working on some advertising stuff. I know I've mentioned that before, but it's a slow go and everybody's busy. I mean, if this is all we did, it would be easy to do, but we're working on it, guys. Hang in there. Appreciate you. Keep your powder dry. Get out there this weekend. Shoot some guns. Do a little hunting. And keep that powder dry. Thanks again for tuning in.